Hello everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are
the Lazy Book Lovers.
This is a podcast for book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read piles. Today's episode is Spooky Rex, specifically Ghosty Rex.
Spooky Rex. I have done a vampire and werewolf one so far. And I have a ghost one today, and I also have a witch one, which we'll have to fix at some point.
I think, did we change the planner to have a witchy one? Or we meant to? I can't remember if we followed through. Will be a witchy one.
Yeah, I've also been doing these lists on my YouTube channel, which I've been up.
I keep meaning to watch that. I'm a terrible friend. I haven't watched it.
No, don't worry. So, this, when I did this list...
Oh, we did put it in the... Sorry, witches, we have put in. It's in November, though.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, it's in the list. The witches one as well. So, when I did these lists, all four of them, I made them all at the same time. So, this was 8 ghost books on my TBR. I've actually read 2 of these now.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's exciting. So, 2 of them are going to be recommendations.
Look at you following through.
I know. I'm, like, trying to work my way through these lists that I'm actually making.
Yeah.
So, I will do... I literally finished one on the drive here. I was crying. So, I'll do that as my last one I'll talk about.
That's going to be a fresh review.
I'll start with one I've read and end with one I've read. So... one of the books was on my TBR with ghosts in it is The Reformatory by Tanana Reeve Dew. And this I read literally like last week. So this is also quite a fresh one. So this is a hefty boy. I've been nervous about reading
How
it
many
for
pages?
Ages. 576.
Okay.
So I've been putting this off for a year.
Is it hefty because of the size or the topic? Okay.
Both,
right.
Yeah. This is set in 1950 in Gracetown, Florida, and it's Jim Crow Florida, like that kind of era.
Era, yeah. That's the correct word.
And this follows a young boy, Robert Stevens Jr., who's sent to a segregated reform school for kicking a white boy who was inappropriately propositioning Robert's sister. But
right. Obviously.
It's expected. So he's 12 years old and he gets sentenced to 6 months at the Gracetown School for Boys, which is a reformatory. And it is horrible, obviously.
Yeah.
So there was an author's note at the end and she said that while this isn't like, whilst this isn't based on any particular reformatory, it is inspired by stories from multiple reformatories.
Yeah.
So yeah, he goes to this reformatory and he, obviously the whole place is extraordinarily abusive, very segregated. The, what's he called? The warden, I'm guessing, warden, would that be right? The guy in charge of it, like the head teacher, but it's not, they're not really teaching
it. It's a warden, yeah.
But he is obviously a disgusting piece of work and every time he was, like, on page, I literally wanted to, like, tear the paper into pieces and eat it or something. I don't know. It was just... I was getting such a visceral reaction to him because he made me so furious.
It's worse when they're, like, a person you could picture.
Yeah, and worse knowing that he was inspired by real-life people, like... And there's probably people that still think that way even now,
who are still alive,
so angry
as well.
Yeah. The school is also very haunted by ghosts, but they call them haints. And obviously, because a lot of children have died there and they hang around.
Yep.
And the warden wants to collect all of the ghosts. There's like a spell you can do to collect the ghosts and it whittles them down to ashes. And he wants to collect them all in a jar so that he can keep it as like a trophy, effectively.
Oh, God.
And he finds out that Robert, or Robbie he goes by because his dad is Robert. He finds out that Robbie can see the ghosts, but like Robbie doesn't make it obvious. But he trips up and they find out that he can see the ghosts. So he starts using him as a ghost catcher, whether Robbie wants it or not, because Robbie or his friends will be brutalized basically if they don't help him capture the ghost. And the ghosts come to Robbie and ask him for help in escaping. They want to be set free. It's awful. And you find out more and more about what the warden's doing to these children. And it is multiple POV. So we follow Robbie in the reformatory and we follow Gloria, who is his sister, and she's trying to get him out. And it's, you know, she's just been stopped at every stage. No one really wants to help. The town gets paid by the reformatory for having the kids there or whatever. And the kids at the reformatory, they like have crops there which the reformatory sell to the towns. So it's all very what's the word?
Symbiotic.
That's it. Yeah, it's all very like that. And there's also a plot line that runs through of, so these two, Robbie and Gloria, their mum died when they were young, and Robbie, it sees his mum's ghost. She kind of follows him around, so she ends up in a reformatory with him. And their dad had to flee town the year before because he was he's an activist in trying to get segregation ended or whatever. So a white woman went to police and said he tried to rape her, so he had to flee town. So the two kids are also dealing with the fallout of that, like they get a lot of abuse from townspeople because of what their dad supposedly did. Brilliant book. I've had Tanana Reeve due on my want to read for a while. I'm glad I finally picked up one of the books. I would definitely pick up the rest. It was a hard one.
That's a heavy book, yeah.
It really was, like, yeah, and all of her books are very kind of heavy hitting like that as well. The other one that I really want to read is called The Good House, and it's about a house that carries the essence of all of the things that happened in there. Brilliant book. Definitely check all of the content warnings. I think the only thing possibly that you might be safe from in this book is I don't think any animals get hurt. If you go on dogs, the dog die, the dog will say no, you're safe. It was a very, very good book though.
Yeah.
Very, very good. So yeah, that was like a historical horror. Next on my list is Ghost Eaters by Clay McLeod Chapman. And I always struggle with his name. There's too many mooks and stuff in it.
Yeah.
So this is a horror, obviously, a horror novel. And this follows two people. They're like on again, off again, and they're college aged. And they... If I remember correctly, he has a bit of a drug addiction and he's like in and out of rehab, which is why they're on off.
Yeah.
And then, so they're Erin and Silas. And then Silas comes across a drug that allows him to see the dead or see ghosts.
Oh, okay.
And he becomes addicted to that. And then I think that she starts taking the drugs as well. And then I think it follows her, and then I think she starts seeing the ghosts even when she's not taking the drugs or something like that. I think it like opens. Ooh, so yeah,
okay.
It says here, will Erin be able to shut the Pandora's box of horror she's opened? So I think once you kind of rewire your mind to see them, you always see them, and I don't think they're always very passive from what I've heard.
Ooh, so like, is the story just going to be about that sort of devolving and there's not really like
I think
a conclusion?
Spooky time.
Is that nice, spookies?
And it is set in a southern hometown as well, so you know there's a lot of ghosts. I think that one is available as an audiobook on Everand, so I might try it out that way.
I can imagine that being quite spooky.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah, I've watched some people review it and everyone's given it really high stars, so... Next is a book. Okay, so this I've had on my TBR for a while. It's called Mary, An Awakening of Terror, and it's by Nat Cassidy. And look at the cover.
Fucking hell. Even that, just that...
Right.
I was just in a bathtub.
But look, it took me so many times to notice it on the cover. Look at the arms. Right?
Ew. Ew!
I didn't notice it for so long. Look up the cover.
For those of you who aren't, if you want to go look at it, go look at it. But there's an arm coming out of the water grabbing her hand.
And I didn't even notice it for so long.
But at first glance, it just looks like her hand. But you're like, that's a bit wonk. I love a bath. What are you doing?
Oh, well,
I don't want to ruin it. That visual.
Yeah, so I have had this on my TBR for a while. It came out in 2022. It's not on like KU or anything like that. It's one I'm going to have to physically buy, so which is why I've not got to it yet. But then I recently found out that Nat Cassidy is a male, which put me off a little bit because this is a book about, what's the word, midlife crisis of for a woman. And I was like, eh. But everyone that's read it says it's really, really good. So I will still give it a try.
Yeah, because sometimes with that, you're worried that they're going to stereotype or fall into kind of unreliable narrator because she is druggy, blah, blah, blah.
And Nat Cassidy had another book come out since then called Nestlings. And that also is about like a mum and babies. And the women I've seen review it said it's really good. So I think he's all right. Okay. I think he's an all right.
Done his research.
I'm giving him props. Because like I remember when I found out that The Silent Patient, the author, Alex Michaelides. When I found out that that was a man, I got right put off it.
Yeah.
I haven't even read it. I was like, I don't care about unreliable female narrators.
I think, you're scarred by certain thrillers you've read in the past where...
And like Riley Sager, when Riley Sager finally came out and, you know, admitted that he was a man and everyone was like, because the domestic thriller genre is primarily written by women, and I think that some people go for these like ambiguous names to try and sell to women.
Like really picking androgynous names just to
I think you could probably do it in a romance as well. I don't know how. I bet it happens a lot and we just don't know it.
Maybe. So, I feel like you could tell if a romance was written by a man.
Oh, you could tell very quickly because the breasts would be breasting and stuff. Yeah.
The breasts can sense things.
So, Mary. Mary is a quiet middle-aged woman doing her best to blend into the background. A remarkable, invisible, unknown even to herself. But lately things have been changing inside Mary. Along with the hot flashes and body aches, she can't look in the mirror without passing out, and the voices in her head have been urging her to do unspeakable things. She is fired from her job, she moves back to her hometown, and she tries to reconnect with her past and her inner self. Instead, she gets visions of terrifying, mutilated spectres overwhelming her with increasing regularity. And then killings begin again.
Ooh, okay.
So that sounds really spooky.
Yeah.
And
that sounds quite...
Question mark?
Well, because people don't know. Like, with the menopause, there can be psychological symptoms you experience. It's just not really talked about.
No.
I don't know if... I can't tell you off the top of my head whether, like, hallucinations are a small percentage of them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, actually.
Maybe. Because, like...
It's not talked about, obviously.
All of, and they do know research into it that affects women. All these things that women go through changes so much of our brain, and there's such little research done.
The mysterious hormones that we can't possibly scientifically quantify.
It only affects 50% of the population. Why would we ever look into this?
That fact you got when you read, what book was it, the missing data one?
Invisible Women.
Yeah, so that when I tell women, I'm like, oh, you even like write down to paracetamol, that dosage isn't calculated for you, it's calculated for men.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? I was like, yeah, so you could be low-key, like, if you have to take painkillers regularly for regular pain, you could be low-key overdosing and you won't know.
Yeah. Or underdosing.
Underdosing as well, because they find our hormones just scary to study.
Then they have to do multiple studies to account for when different hormones, different points of...
Yeah, the cycle.
Idiots.
And like, I've told so many women that, and they're like, that's not true. And I'm like, it's look it up.
like things like strokes affect women differently. So all of that, all of the things we're taught about how to spot a stroke is just for men.
Yep.
Heart attacks as well.
All right down to car crash dummies not being women until 2 years ago or something like that.
And even then it's not very common.
Yeah.
Which is why seatbelts are always cut women, but like sit on
your neck too high. Well, it's why you're statistically more likely to die in a car crash.
Honestly, don't fucking mind us. Eh?
So like, that's why all these horrors for do with women stuff. Like, how if that doesn't affect you, you know? I don't know. I think it'd be hard to write how that everyday fear could permeate your life. if you're not living that life.
Yeah, so people always badmouth Grady Hendrix because he always writes female POVs. Mm. And him and Riley Sager are quite good comparisons of each other. So people often like talk about the two in tandem. Riley Sager's more thriller writing. Grady Hendrix is more like comedic horror.
Yeah.
But I have, and I've seen so many people complain about the way he writes his female characters. But I have yet to read one of his books that I'm like, he hasn't got that right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He just, for me, he captures the essence of being a woman quite well.
I think you'd have to be very empathetic or very good at listening to the women around you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I looked into him a little bit more as well. And he's like, he even has a cookbook and stuff. Like, I just don't, he's just mental. And like, him and his wife did like some cooking show or something. I was like, what are you talking about?
You know what? Live your best life.
Yeah.
Okay, so next, that was a tangent.
Next on my list is Murder Road, which is the most recent release by Simone St. James, who I've read from before a few of her books.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
I haven't read the Book of Cold Cases. That's the one I want to read. I read Sundown Motel and her other book isn't here. I know I've read two books from her.
Okay.
So from the couple of books I've read, Simone St. James seems to have a bit of a formula where she has like two timelines at least, one in the past, one in the present, and they kind of interact in some way or characters interact in some way or whatever. And there's always an element of, is it supernatural or is it human? In the books I've read anyway.
Mm.
This one, Murder Road, doesn't have the highest ratings of her books. From what I've seen, a lot of people have said it was not enough of, is it paranormal or not? It was like, it didn't leave you the option of guessing.
Okay.
It was like, it is or it isn't. I don't know
which way. Yeah, I like so those ones where like,
liked it that didn't like it that it wasn't so ambiguous.
I think the ones I find the scariest are the ones of like, it's just a hair's breadth from reality.
Yeah.
I'm like, this could, we don't know if this is real or not.
Exactly.
Whereas when it's overtly like, yes or no, not real, I'm like, well, it's not scary then, it's not real.
Yeah, yeah, because this couldn't actually happen.
This isn't real.
Yeah. So Murder Road is set in 1995. Oh yeah, also I don't think that this has a split thing. I think it's fully like in 1995. Okay. So it's very kind of different to her previous work.
Yeah.
And they are haunted by a string of gruesome murders that have been committed on a deserted road. So they are driving somewhere, they take a wrong turn, they're looking for a particular resort, they're on their honeymoon, they take a wrong turn, they see someone that they think is a lone hitchhiker, pick her up, they regret it.
Full stop.
They get caught up in some murders. You know, I think it's like, it's giving me the vibes of, you know, just like, I don't know what you did last summer kind of vibes. Like that kind of,
oh, okay. You know,
I don't know if that's what it's like, but it gives me the vibes of like a kind of fun slasher.
Yeah.
And also, who was it? Evernight? Is that the horror version of Illumicrate? Illumicrate's horror one. This was the cover they did for it, which also gives me that vibe, like,
oh yeah, because it's, I very love the like
cover. It's like a comic cover.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like a proper like 1950s comic or something.
Yeah, so I don't know, I want to read it, I want to check it out. It's been on lists saying that it's been on lists for ghost books, so I'm assuming there's some ghosts in it at some point, so why not.
Reminds me of a Supernatural episode actually.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that was a Supernatural episode.
Probably. All it was missing was like a hook on the handle or something. Like that kind of vibe, like the scary stories you tell your friends. That's what I wanted to give me.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to read, this is the first one I think that's not a horror or a thriller. I want to read Belladonna by Adeline Grace.
Oh, I do know this book.
Yeah, it's a fantasy romance, a YA, so I'm sure it's been on your radar. Yeah. And the second one, Foxglove. I don't know if the third one's out. I think it's a trilogy. Three are out. So the third one just came out. It's Wisteria. I like the names. I only recently found out that belladonna is a plant, a toxic plant. Because
It's poison.
That was a name I suggested for when we had our daughter. And my other half didn't like the name. And I was like, Bella, for sure. And I never knew there was a plant. And I recently found it out. And I was like, that would have been really awesome. That's probably why he said no, because he probably knew that.
Yeah.
And he probably never mentioned it. Why did he not
tell you? Probably wouldn't tell you because you knew.
Because he assumed I knew.
Or
he thought, yeah, she'll like it too much.
She'll like it more.
I was like, she can go
by Bella. But you have a dog called Poison Ivy and you just call her Ivy.
Yeah, Poison Ivy would have been good. Obviously, that was we did discuss that, but that was a no. But Harley Quinn was going to be our first child if our first child was a girl. But he was not.
Stupid partners making you choose sensible names. Although I really like her name.
I mean, I picked that.
Yeah.
I think she's got quite a cute name.
Anyway.
So, belladonna.
Forgot where we started.
A girl confronts death and her own deathly powers in this gothic-infused romantic YA fantasy. I mean, there's a lot of buzzwords there.
There's a lot of me buzzwords. I'm really
enjoying gothic books because it's that time of year, you know?
Yeah, I was on your story graph today for different reasons and I saw the sort of gothic-y things that have crept in.
It's been... I'm in the midst of it. 19-year-old Signa Farrow, orphaned as a baby, has been raised by a string of guardians, each more interested in her wealth than her well-being, and each has met an untimely end. Her last remaining relatives are the Hawthorns, good name, an eccentric family living at the glittering and gloomy estate of Fawn Grove. Fawn Grove's patriarch Elijah mourns his late wife Lillian through wild parties and drink, whilst the eldest son, Percy, grapples for control of the family's waning reputation, and daughter Blythe suffers from the same mysterious illness that killed her mother.
Blythe. That's a really good posh girl name.
That is. When Lillian's spirit confronts Signa and claims she was poisoned, Signa realises that Blythe could be the next to die. There's the ghost.
There's our ghosty.
Fantasy romance. I believe this is one of those ones where the devil or the dark lord or whatever is quite hot. I'm guessing.
Oh my god, someone should rewrite Harry Potter, but
the dark lord. Oh, being all sassy.
Dark romance version of Harry Potter. You keep forgetting about you can't be sassy with a hurt neck. You're too old for sassy.
Too old.
But I say Harry Potter is a dark romance.
I mean, you could read Manacled and it's a dark romance. I think Wattpad has that covered. I don't know if you've read this. Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo.
I have read this.
You have? I've
read the first one. I bought the second, not read it yet.
Yeah. Ghosts. It was on some lists. I was informed it contained a ghost.
You know what? You're one of the books you just were reading out reminded me of a book I'd read and I couldn't remember which one. It's fucking Ninth House.
Oh, so there we go.
There we go. What,
belladonna?
The one where she can see ghosts and they're not being nice to her. So it was earlier in the list.
Oh, ghost ears. So Galaxy Alex Stern is the most unlikely member of Yale's freshman class. Raised in a Los Angeles hinterlands by a hippie mum, Alex dropped out of school early and into a world of shady drug dealer boyfriends, dead-end jobs, and much, much worse. In fact, by age 20, she is the sole survivor of a horrific unsolved multiple homicide. Oh, my God. Some might say she's thrown her life away, but at her hospital bed, Alex is offered a second chance to attend one of the world's most prestigious universities on a full ride. What's the catch and why? Still searching for answers, Alex arrives in New Haven, tasked by her mysterious benefactors with monitoring the activities of Yale's secret societies. Their 8 windowless tombs are the well-known haunts of the rich and powerful, from high-ranking politicos to Wall Street's biggest players, but their occult activities are more sinister and more extraordinary than any paranoid imagination might conceive. They tamper with forbidden magic. They raise the dead and sometimes they prey on the living. Does that sum it up?
Yeah, so there's 8 secret societies that are like, kind of like these secret societies are. Like, it is based on her experience at Yale from what I googled at the time. And they are, I think they are called tombs as well.
Mm.
But in this version of reality, they do like, they do spells that sort of fix the market. Mm. So like, they get paid on behalf of big people on Wall Street to like make certain stuff happen. Or to get people
stuff going my way.
God. Yeah, or to get people into high-ranking political positions, like to rig elections. But there's different tombs do different types of magic.
Okay.
And the tomb she ends up joining is doing lots of dodgy stuff with dead people.
Mm. Like necromancy. And I can't
remember. Yeah, and I can't remember what people get out of it, but it is again for the same reason that being paid to do it for like political or financial gain by people.
This was going to be like a 6-book series, but it's going to be a trilogy now, wasn't it? Or her publisher's cut it right back.
But the main character can see ghosts. So that's why it's on the ghosty list.
Yeah.
And that's where she ends up working for the particular tomb she does. But she like tries not to give away how much she can see. But, like, she's had some quite bad experience with ghosts. Because, like, she had a ghost at, like, a truck stop. This is why she dropped out of school. There's a ghost at a truck stop that's, like, a trucker who tries to assault her.
Mm.
And so a teacher finds her with her trousers down by her ankles, screaming.
And they can't see the ghost.
They can't see the ghost. Mm. Yeah. And then she tries to explain to her mum, you know, a ghost tried to sexually assault me, and her mum's like,
"All right, crazy."
Okay, cray-cray. Yeah. Which is why she falls in with druggies, because obviously when everyone's high and she's seeing ghosts and talking to something that's not there,
they're just like, no, "Oh, cool, dude."
Yeah. But you do find out at the end of book one. This is not a spoiler, but I'm just gonna say it. By the end of book one, you find out about the homicide and how it happened. That she's been caught up in the middle of.
Oh, okay.
And it's to do with the spookies. It's good.
And the second book's called Hellbent, I believe.
Yep, it's behind me, actually.
Yeah.
I've not read it yet.
No. I got a hardback copy, because I pre-ordered it.
Mm. Yeah, I actually waited till the paperback came out. I was really stubborn about it. Bloody read it. Because the Emily Henry funny story, I've been wanting to read that, but I'm waiting till the paperback's out, because I'm not... Wouldn't fit on the shelf.
No.
That's not a hardback size shelf that I've designated for paperbacks, romance paperbacks. There's a system.
Don't mess with the system. And next on my list, I am desperate to read, but they don't have a Kindle version. They don't have an audio version. I have to physically buy it. Mm. And because it's like one of those short publishing runs, they only get in hardback, and it's like £20 or something. It's like American prices, you know? And for us,
and we're spoiled in England. For us
English folks. God, I've been watching people do like hauls in Canada, and
I'm like, bankruptcy levels. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. Someone I watched on YouTube, and she was going through her most recent haul, and she was like, "I paid $38 for this hardback," and I was like, "Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, that's like £15 here."
For us, that would be ultra special edition, comes with a bunch of stuff inside it.
Standard.
You know?
Oh, because
we're so spoiled. I mean, the works. I saw a vlog of someone who went into the works, like an American traveling.
Yeah.
He was like, "It is cheaper for me to pay to like an extra luggage that's just full of books to buy these at home." So she went in the works and just went nuts, and she was like, "I can't believe." She was like, "Guys, look how much I spent." And it was like £150. And she got like so many books. Mm. We're very spoiled.
I saw someone who went into, they're in Australia, and they went to, it wasn't Barnes and Noble. What did they have out there? Was it Chapters or something? Oh, no. I
can't remember.
And she was like, "I've got $50 and I want to see how many books I could get for it." She said, "Probably only one." And I was like, oh. And she ended up being able to get two. And I was like, oh, my God.
That's like, that should be like 5 brand new paperbacks. Yeah. Or like 3 really nice hardbacks. So I was in the comments
like, I could have got 15 books at the works, or yeah, like at Asda or something. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah.
Like the 3 for £9 at Tesco's. But that's like, I mean, that's naff paperbacks, but.
I mean, me and my partner are looking at emigrating somewhere, and all the places we're looking at, I was like, oh, book prices are so high.
It'd probably be cheaper for you to send me money to go buy them and ship them to you.
When I lived in Malta, I just ordered them from UK Amazon and paid the delivery, and it worked out cheaper than, like, yeah. Obviously, I don't think a UK Amazon would deliver to Australia. But
My friend that lives in Japan, that's what she gets her mum to do. Her mum buys them and then ships them.
Yeah.
And it's still cheaper.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I would have to do if we So, this is Dead Island by Jimmy Giuliano. And as I said, it's like...
that 5 times fast.
And as I said, it's like £20 for the hardcover. The cover looks good, so I kind of... I wanted to try it out first because I would like to have that on my shelf. Nice. But I don't want to pay like that much for the physical copy if I don't like it. I even looked on eBay and it was still way too much money.
Vinted? Did you try Vinted?
Yes. Well, every time I look, it's not come up. I don't think it's one of those ones that probably people over here are only buying it if they actually want it. I don't know. On a creepy island where everyone has a strange obsession with the year 1994, a newcomer arrives hoping to learn the truth about her son's death, but finds herself pulled deeper and deeper into a bizarrely insular community and their complicated lives. Yeah, so this is like set in 1994, but it's like modern day, but on the island they act like it's 1994, which is such a weird concept.
I would have been 3 months old.
I would have been 6. Clifford Island. When Willow Stone finds these words written on the floor of her deceased son's bedroom, she's perplexed. She's never heard of it before, but soon learns it's a tiny island off Wisconsin's Door County Peninsula, 200 miles from Willow's home. That was way too much stuff about
Door County
stuff.
Peninsula. It's very specific.
Why would her son write this on his floor? Determined to find answers, Willow sets out for the island. After a few days on Clifford, Willow realises this place is not normal. You don't say. Everyone seems to be stuck in a particular day in 1994. They wear outdated clothing, avoid modern technology, and perhaps more mystifyingly, watch the O.J. Simpson car chase every evening. When she asks questions, people are evasive, but she learns one thing, close your curtains at night.
Mm.
It makes me think of like a folk horror book or film, you know, like Wicker Man or something, where they go to an island and it
like stuck town in time.
It's all like, yeah,
but I've never seen one where it's like the 90s. It's just so recent.
It's not anymore. Yeah, that's the thing. When people are like, I'm dressing vintage in their Y2K clothes, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but they're not doing, like, the thing is, they need to look as ugly as we looked. They are making the style
looked too cute.
Pretty. Mm. It was ugly.
Yeah, like, where's your blue eyeshadow?
Where's your foundation lips?
Where's your, like, Dream Matte Mousse foundation with the line going around you?
Where's your straightened hair that you've hairsprayed to fuck so it's stiff? Like, you've got to commit to the aesthetic. You can't make it pretty.
No, you can't. You've got to commit, y'all.
Where's your Claire's accessory choker?
Do you know how expensive Claire's accessories is?
I know.
So I wanted to get some little hair clips for the girl. And I was like, oh, Claire's accessories. I'm sure they'll do a big pack. Oh, my gosh.
Might as well go on Etsy and get some nice handmade ones because it's the same fucking price.
Yeah, and then I thought, right, I'll look in Asda. And the Asda accessories are Claire's accessories.
Yeah, they've got Claire's in them.
And I was like, yeah, get it, mate. I was like, she's going to lose half of them.
Yeah. The big Tesco's has a tiny Holland & Barrett inside it now.
Does it?
They've moved everything around. And I was
the one in town?
Yeah. Mm. I was really tired, right?
And were you like, what the fuck am I?
And I just needed a couple bits. But they have moved everything. Oh. And they've also changed the store so it makes you kind of walk around a bit.
They did that to the bulldog one, and I love it, but it did take me a while to get used to it.
But like, I was just so tired, and I just wanted like a handful of things.
Just wanted to get in and out with the bits.
And I couldn't fucking find anything. I was so tired, and then I walk in, and then
like crying.
And then, but it's like, it's Holland again. This is not interesting if you're not from the UK, I guess. But like, it's Holland and Barrett design. So the floor is a different colour.
Oh.
We've got all signage changes to Holland and Barrett, and like all the shelving changes to Holland and Barrett.
I have to go check that out.
And I was like, you know, when you, I don't, it's just the level of attire I was, right? I just walked in, and they've got a little man that stands there as well, who's like a little Holland and Barrett guy, who's just there for Holland and Barrett stuff. And I literally walked in, and he was looking at me, and I was like, I was just looking around, and I'm like, what is this?
What is going on?
He's like, yeah, you have to pay for the Holland and Barrett stuff you buy in that one aisle.
Oh,
with
so
the little
like
guy.
A little kiosk aisle?
Yeah.
That sounds like a shit setup.
Like a shop within a shop. But it was so, I was like, did I walk through a portal?
Yeah.
I was so confused.
That makes me think about when I go in, like, department stores, and they have, like, little makeup counters, and you have to pay for all of it as a separate thing. So I'm like, I'm not getting any makeup here, because you've stressed me out too much.
You've made a separate tiny shop within the
shop.
I'm
going to Boots. Screw you.
Sorry,
guys.
That was such a tangent, but we're talking about eerie stuff. And then I just couldn't find anything, and I was just walking around Tesco's. I was trying to find the fucking...
And I bet that threw you off so much, you were just like, what is even happening?
I spent £17 on vitamins.
Ah, from Holland and Barrett. Is it at like the car park entrance? Like the fruit and veg?
No, the other end.
Oh.
Where all like
the lunch stuff is?
Kind of where the makeup stuff used to be. The makeup stuff's all been moved.
Where's the makeup stuff?
I can't remember now. But I was like, I was trying to find
the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Ah.
I was trying to find sun cream, and they moved it to a very bizarre corner because obviously it's out of season.
Under the stairs.
But it's like it's not within any of the health and beauty stuff. They moved it. It was near the car stuff. And I was like, why the fuck is sun cream near the car stuff? And I was like,
when you're in your car, just somebody.
I was like, you know, I can't express to you how tired I was. And I was just walking around Tesco. I was so baffled. I was only planning to be out the house for like half an hour. I just wanted to grab a couple bits. I literally went in there for vitamins and sun cream. And I was gone for an hour and a half.
Oh my God.
Came out and bought like 45 quid worth of stuff.
You're like, I just don't even know what happened.
I was walking past all this pasta and I was like, their pasta. Well, they used to be like hair dryers. I was like, I'm so confused.
They shouldn't change layouts in shops. It should be like a rule.
And I was like,
allowed.
I was also like, the level of distressed I am that they've changed the shop around is just embarrassing. Like, no. I am old.
I was literally like, I'm having a rough time at the moment. And I went to the little Asda near me where we popped to our bits. And I was trying to walk around, and there was pumpkins in the way, and I literally was like,
this might break me.
Yeah, I was like holding my head, like, I'm going to cry in the middle of the shop because there's some pumpkins where I want to walk.
Yeah, this is such a tangent, sorry guys. Similar level of stress. Like, I was trying to do an every parcel drop off of Vinted, and the machine makes no sense because it's a machine that services like a couple of other brands and every, but it doesn't make that clear.
Aww.
So I'm like trying to scan a QR code.
Like Yodel and all that as well.
It's like Royal Mail and one other that I've never heard of, but it's only got one screen that does all three. But the label gets printed in the Vinted thing. So you have to like wander over to the Vinted bit, get your label, put it on the parcel, go back to the screen.
Where's that from? Where is that? Where'd they have that?
The Shell garage near me.
Do they have it set up there? That's
not
cool.
The one you go past on your way out of town, the other one.
Okay.
And they have InPost there as well, so I can do kind of everything
cool.
From one place.
That's
which good. Is nice. Apart from Yodel, it's the only one I can't do there.
Screw you.
But, like, it wasn't clear. I went into the station and I was like, hey, do you have to do something? And he's like, no, you should be able to do it at the screen. I was like,
I should be able to.
I can't figure it out. The instructions aren't very clear.
Yeah.
And literally, I was like, I'm done. I got in my car and I was like, this is the only day I've got to send this parcel. It has to be sent right now. This is after the Tesco's adventure, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You were really out of it anyway.
So I literally was crying in my car over this everything. And then the InPost guys rock up to empty the InPost. And it's just these two men loading a van. Just like... looking at me, sobbing in my car over like the every parcel. And then I get back out and I do it and I'm like, yeah.
So this was, you hadn't even done it at this point.
No, I was, I gave up, went in the car to cry for a minute, came back out.
Do you know what, sometimes you just gotta do these things.
And like, then I got home and everyone's like, you're right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine.
Got loads of things.
Because no one was home when I went out, so also no one knows where I went. So I just was gone for 2 hours.
Crying in your car.
Well, this is I'm doing great, guys. Thriving. Sorry, carry on with... I can't remember where we started this tangent, but carry on.
And this is the last one, okay?
All right.
And this is the one that I literally finished in the car on the way over, and I cried.
Speaking of crying, yeah.
I cried on the way back from swimming, and then I cried on the way here. This book was not what I thought it was at all, and I kind of hate it and love it at the same time. So it's called My Throat, An Open Grave by Tori Bavolano.
Sounds like we're in for a fun time.
This is the cover, all right?
All right.
If you look it up, it's spooky, spooky, good times cover. Yeah, yeah. It's listed as a horror. It's not a horror. Well, it's very light on a horror. So if you are a big horror reader and you only want horror, I wouldn't pick this up because it's not... I feel like it's been marketed to the wrong audience.
Mm.
This is more a dark fantasy. It's like more in line with what I think like Belladonna and stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
So for starters, I think possibly it's been picked up by the wrong people, which isn't the book's fault. It's the marketing's fault. So in a small town of Winston, Pennsylvania, they fear the Lord of the Wood almost as much as they fear God. According to legends, the ghosts of the wood steal the babies of the town if they're left unattended. But this legend has just become a way to scare local kids until Leah Jones's brother disappears. Leah has no hope for the future outside of Winston, and her only remaining solace is her music. She's on the verge of dropping out of high school, barely balancing her job at the gas station with her duty to care for her baby brother, Owen. But when Owen is taken by the Lord of the Wood, Leah must face the dangers of the forest to write a song that will win Owen back and discover the truth of how her life went so very wrong.
It's almost like folk horror.
This fucking book. Yes, folk horror. It was like... It was so good. It's so good.
What about it made you cry so much? Was it because of the baby brother bit? Like the baby being taken?
So much. It's like... It really, really strips down all of the expectations that are put on young girls and women. And it's set like in modern time, but it's a very patriarchal and puritanical town.
Yeah.
And this poor girl is just, she's like a teenager, and she's so incredibly convinced that she's broken and worthless because of what these horrible men have told her. The Lord of the Wood is this really hot guy. And he's like, I'm going to tell you every day that you're not broken. And
oh, God.
There's a fucking baby involved. And oh, my God.
Oh, no.
It was just like, yeah, I'm emotional anyway.
I can see where that one would get. Would probably get to me
it
too.
It captured everything. And I was just sitting in the car like, this fucking book. And there was a really, really good twist. There was something that I think most people would probably see coming, and it actually snuck up on me, and I was like, ah? But I think it's very well signposted. It's just I was just being a dumb bitch. And then there's also something else that, was like another thing that just kind of, I literally realised it like 2 pages before they revealed it, and I was like, oh my God. And just this poor, like, you know, like, teenagers, young woman. She's, like, on a cusp of womanhood. And she's already so utterly convinced she's worthless and broken because of disgusting men. And I just can't, like... And then this creature, fae, whatever he is, because he's not even sure what he is. He just knows he's not human. Is there telling her how precious she is and stuff, and I'm like, oh my god, stop it. Just stop it.
I need a dark fey lord to come out of the woods and tell me I'm a precious baby child.
Yeah. And she's there for a month. She has a month to write a song.
Yeah.
Because she makes this deal with him. She has a month to write this song, and if she writes the song that he's happy with, he'll let her have the baby back.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it, but, like, that's the basic. And like, she's living in his house, and he gives her jumpers to wear and stuff. He gives her jumpers and runs her a bath. Like, come on! Obviously, I'm crying. Yeah, and, like, right at the beginning, like, her mum, we don't really know, like, we know that her dad has left.
Right.
We don't really know much more about that situation. Mm. And her mum has to work a lot.
Right.
So basically she's raising her baby brother.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, older sister vibes. Like, yeah, it just really fucking cut me, man. there were ghosts in it, yeah. There was lots of ghosts in the forest world, and there is some quite creepy stuff with the ghosts, but I would say it's quite like horror light. It reminded me in a lot of ways of Gallant by
B.E. Schwab.
Yeah, so if you liked that book, I think you might like this one.
Okay.
Which was another book that got heavily criticized because it was advertised as a horror and people were like, it's not horror, and it's very like horror light.
Yeah.
Horror for beginners.
Just fantasy horror.
Fantasy horror, yeah. Folklore, it's like dark fantasy mystery. Horror.
Mystery.
Basically, if you are in a position where you're going to cry because there's a pumpkin, maybe don't read this because you will probably cry. If you're as emotional as me at the moment. Bloody pumpkins.
Oh, so I, speaking of crying, so I'm listening to the Chris Broadbent book, Daughter of No Worlds or Other Worlds, that one.
I know which one. I could picture it, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to spoil any of it, but there is one point where one of the characters gives the other character a gift, and it's like a necklace to celebrate something that's happening. But in it, he's carved three symbols.
I already hate it.
These are symbols that, like, do magical things.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So one is for heat, one is to heal, and the third is to give her a way back to him.
No!
And, like, if you know the relationship of these characters, that's a real moment of him putting himself out there. And I swear to God, it was... So I'm now on holiday for 2 weeks, right, from work. Yeah. But it was me driving home yesterday in the dark because I went shopping and I went on a side quest to B&M and it was a whole thing and I shouldn't have done it and I was hungry and tired. But I was listening to that when I was driving into my town and I was just there like... And it's dark and raining and I can't fucking not see right now. So I was like just there with my eyes wide open like...
Yeah, and like, I don't know why I'm so emotional for starters. And my hormones, I think, are just all over the place now. Like, my periods have started again. And this month I've got a big horror list of stuff I want to read, but I also just kind of want to read loads of cutesy romances.
Maybe you need to have like palate cleansers between them. Like, a nice short 200 pager.
And then,
you know.
But I think I specifically want to read romances, probably romantices, where it's the caregiver partner, you know, like.
Yeah.
But he's everyone's scared of him because he actually can murder people. But for her, he'll tuck her into bed and make her a cup of tea. That's what I want, please.
Do you need that time I like. That series.
Yeah. The Mead and Mishaps.
Mead and Mishaps.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect vibe.
I'll do that one.
If you want that one. Because they're all just massive himbos who are like, precious baby child, because there's no women. They're like, we love you. I will worship at your feet. And it's a lot of women, like, no-nonsense women being like, get off my leg. Like,
literally. Okay, I'm just calling myself out here, right? I watched Five Nights at Freddy's the other night.
Right.
A horror film based on, well, I say horror. Because they wanted to keep it, like, PG, so it's not as horror as it could have been, based on the obviously the horror game. And the main character is played by Josh Hutcherson. The one Peter from Hunger Games.
Yeah, Hunger Games,
right?
Guy, yeah.
Never cared about him in my life.
I have seen a bunch of things about him from this
and
movie.
And I was watching and I was like, oh my God, he's so sexy. And I was like, why do I think he's sexy? It's because he's looking after his baby sister and he's running around trying to save her life. And I'm like, oh wow, he is so hot.
Them hormones do be hormoning because it's like, oh, he's protecting her.
And he's like shouting her name and I'm like, oh wow.
Such a good invader.
Woo, I need a fan up in here. Googling how tall he is because I'm like, he's far too short. Googling how tall he is. Like, short king. He's 5'5", by the way. And I'm 5'4",
really?
So I was like, okay.
I can make that work.
We can make that work.
To be fair, he's such a wet blanket in Hunger Games.
I swear, I was like, who is this?
Because
like,
Peter is a wet blanket.
I could
he's a great
kick
character,
him in
but
it,
he's,
no, thank
yeah.
you. And then I've never seen him in anything else. I literally forgot he even existed. So.
Has he done anything since Hunger Games?
I did look it up because I got a little bit obsessed and I did a
of
bit
course.
Of it. He has been in some stuff, but nothing.
That'd be one of the days where you didn't text me back for like 7 hours, but we've been Googling Peter Mullarky.
Probably looking up edits on TikTok. I was just laying in bed watching this film. It was like far later than it should have been. I was tired. I was upset. I don't know why I was still awake. And I was like, he's so sexy. He's not. Or is he? I don't know. Is it just my hormones? Someone tell me, is he hot? I don't know.
Do you right, I saw people doing edits of him.
There was a
TikTok.
Lot of edits. So obviously he is hot something.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well,
there we go.
That was Ghosts and Trauma.
That's the title of the episode. Ghosts and Trauma.
Ghosts and Trauma.
So yeah, is Peter Luck. Oh.
Please contact us on our socials to tell us.
Give me some more recommendations of ghosty books. Please and thank you.
Wait, I just need to write down that.
Not Ghosts and Trauma.
Yeah.
Please like, subscribe, auto download, rate, whatever it is you can do wherever you listen to the podcast. That would really help us find more people to tell about our weird trauma. And we'll see you next week for a reading update.
Yeah, it's a reading update.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.